Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
My darling,
hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Wednesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. You guys know what's back tomorrow.
Back tomorrow. The Giants playing for irrelevancy?
Yeah, no, I mean that happens today too and yesterday.
Did you see that hit by the Cardinals?
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Never seen it in my life.
Did you see that, Swigard? I think it was Paul DeJong.
I missed that one.
He hit a ball. The Giants lost yesterday 1-0.
7 feet out of.
Like,
right?
He's a right-handed hitter.
Yeah.
Hits one off the edge of the bat that is heading directly for the first baseline dugout. It goes a clear 7 feet into foul territory. It's rolling on the ground in foul territory.
Spins back
and
in.
He had so much like side spin because of where he hit it. It loops back around like a bowling ball, and it ended up being a fair ball base hit.
He recognized it early, too, and was ahead of the Giants guys.
Like, the Giants guys didn't even go after it. You just see it. You're like, that's a foul ball. No, the National Football League is back tomorrow.
Dude. Totally blank that it's Wednesday when you asked that.
Today is Wednesday, Bob.
So now that you've mentioned that.
Today is Wednesday.
Jacked. Yes.
Tomorrow at this time, you know what we're going to be doing?
Oh, the NFL picks.
We're going to be cutting some meat.
We're going to cut that meat,
baby. Cut that meat.
Pro Football Challenge.
Yeah.
Make sure you go sign up, by the way. You got to get it. If you want a chance to win this year, it's just best to do it at the start of the year. You can sign up whenever you want. But it's always easier to do it at the start of the year. 1080thefan.com, our Pro Football Challenge. You got a chance to win some awesome prizes. Throughout the course of the year, we pick our games every Thursday from basically 2 to 2:30. So that's going to be tomorrow. Chicago Green Bay is the debut. We can't wait for it. So go sign up and pick some games with us. One other housekeeping note to get to before we move on to a head coach in the NFL. So Swigart, we did the squat challenge today. We've had people with issues trying to watch the video. We probably should have saved it. That's on us. But if you're on Instagram, first go follow us at 1080thefan because we post all sorts of cool stuff on there.
Yeah.
And you have to go. So essentially what you got to do, you can't just click our story. You got to go to the 1080 The Fan page. So like when you go follow us, or if you're already following us, go to our page. And then when you click the 1080 The Fan icon in the top left, it will give you the option to watch the story or watch the live video. And you say, watch live video. Boom. You can watch Swigard and a sweaty Brandon Sprague in the squat challenge this morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Housekeeping. I will no longer be doing live. I will just do stories.
Yeah, stories are easier because
then they save them.
Yeah.
We can post them on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. We'll stop doing the live thing.
It would have
we'll
been a real shame if he would have like crapped his pants or something and we would have like lost that content, but that did not happen, thankfully, for Swigard. And we had people texting earlier too and say Swag's actually the winner of the day.
Oh.
Because no major injuries took place.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Right?
Very, very good. I was actually just going to say Andy didn't get hurt.
Yeah, he's in one piece.
So. No. I got places to go tonight. We got playoff baseball out in Hillsboro.
Got to call Hoff's game, man.
Need my voice out there.
He could have been, if this would have gone bad today, you know what Jason Swigard would have been?
Oh, I would have done the Hugh Freeze thing?
He would have been the Hugh Freeze of broadcasters.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wheelchaired in, laying on
his bed.
Now batting!
Laying, you know, with his gown still on from his hernia surgery or whatever the hell it was.
Krupke or somebody would have seen him taking a picture, his thumbs up with a microphone in his other hand.
Let's go Hoff's!
We gotta be here!
Expose stories on him, the dedication of the guy. go to our page on Instagram. You just go to the 1080 The Fan page, click the icon, and it'll say watch live or watch story. Click watch live, and you can watch Swigard attempt to squat this morning. He hit the under of 185. Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers have been in the headlines quite often this offseason. I feel like we go through like the cycling of stories where it's Zeke, Antonio Brown, Melvin Gordon, Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, and then you just kind of keep cycling around. There might be a few others I'm forgetting. But that's one of the main ones. And one of the main issues kind of this offseason has been, one, can Rodgers get along with LaFleur? And two, will Rodgers have the freedom at the line of scrimmage? Can he audible?
He's Aaron Rodgers. If he doesn't, you fire him right now. You fire that coach.
So he actually, Rodgers actually came out with a quote recently. I think it was a day or two ago saying, yeah, I mean, I feel great. I got control at the line of scrimmage. I've always wanted this kind of control. Like, it was a very glowing review. And then I think it was Brett Favre that gave an interview and said, well, they better let him audible. And this became an issue again. Matt LaFleur yesterday at his press conference was asked about it. I think this starts with the question, and he's tired of it.
I recall talking at the combine, you mentioned that audibles weren't a big part of the
you guys just will not stop with this audible thing. It's unbelievable. What do you guys want me to say? I think that we've always had adjustments within our plays. Like, it's just we called it something different. And the fact that I didn't call it an audible, everybody's running wild with it. So it's comical to me. But like I said, I feel good with what we've got in our plan, how we've gotten to this point, and I'm confident that he's got a total command and control of what we're trying to get done.
You guys will just not stop asking about this, will you?
Well, they'll stop if they win tomorrow.
Yeah, if they win tomorrow and look good, it's over.
You went in Chicago. Chicago is another team that, you know, a lot of people think can get back to what they were, and they were just a field goal away from advancing in the playoffs. If that is to be Chicago this year, it would be a big statement for Green Bay with a new head coach, Rodgers with a handlebar mustache, to go in there and get a huge win on the start of the NFL season.
Remember, they beat him in the opener last year in Lambeau. They were down big. Rodgers got shot up with pain pills, and they came back.
Yeah, he came back on one leg. They had that big comeback. You proclaimed him the greatest quarterback of all time.
I still stand by that.
I will never forget that night. It was it was magical.
It was a magical evening. For anybody who had Green Bay in a survivor pool, you would have labeled him the GOAT as well, because you were down and out at halftime, and then he let him back.
Yeah, you know, I understand it, though. I kind of understand both sides. You know, let's say you're the beat guy. You're covering the Green Bay Packers. You've done multiple interviews with Matt LaFleur. You've done multiple interviews with Aaron Rodgers. You actually haven't had your turn on asking about the audible stuff. Other people have. But you know how this business works, man. Somebody can ask the same question as another person, and they get a completely different answer. So you're thinking, what if I bring this up? Maybe they'll give me a more in-depth thought than what I've read. So I get it from their angle. On the other side, dude, this is really annoying stuff.
Right. And like, stop asking me.
Yes, I also understand why coaches and players get really aggravated by the media.
Well, and Aaron Rodgers, remember, he ranted a couple of weeks ago about how everybody's just like running with stuff. Like, I didn't say that. This isn't an issue. I get along with Matt LaFleur. Like, stop writing these stories. You're just creating and connecting dots that don't exist.
Because Rodgers has openly admitted that he records every interview he does because he doesn't want somebody to run or exaggerate or lie. I'm almost wondering if it's going to get to a point where the player just comes out, instead of doing the player tribune thing, they just sit down and they do a 1.5 minute video. Hey guys, just wanted to address the audible thing with my new coach, Matt LaFleur.
Did they send it out on their own?
We're working great together.
Yeah.
We've had some back and forth. We'd some disagreements, which is normal, but he's allowing me freedom to audible. But most of the time I like what he's calling. I'm really excited about our season. I just wanted to set the record straight.
That'd be really funny if teams started to do that.
Well, they kind of already are diving into that. They've done that with team reporters. They're doing that with their own content. And from the athlete standpoint, I totally get it.
I get it.
It's trying to be honest and give you how they really feel versus I can read a quote from a locker room interview and I might think something entirely different than the message or the way that they conveyed that message.
Yeah. So that was Matt LaFleur not happy about the narrative about audibles. We'll have more time to talk about this tomorrow, but is this a good opening night matchup?
I would have preferred something else, but I'm ultimately not that mad.
I mean, it's the NFL, so we're all going to watch and we're all pumped for it.
But I mean, Aaron Rodgers and the Chicago Bears, who are good again, which I think it's great when the Bears are good in the NFL.
Sure.
I'm all for it.
Let me ask you this, and we can even ponder this and get to it tomorrow. What would the best matchup have been?
Well, they went completely away from their usual give the Super Bowl winner of the night.
I get that, yeah, because they're doing 100-year anniversary.
Yeah, so going with their oldest rivalry. Yeah.
I'll give you a game that I would have been okay if they went with this one over Chicago.
It doesn't have to be a week one game. I'm just asking, like, what would your dream matchup have been for opening night?
Cleveland or Kansas City?
Oh, I would have thought a Rams-Saints rematch.
Oh.
I'm in for that, too.
NFC title game over again?
Honestly, unless you're going Cardinals-Lions, I don't know if you can get a wrong answer.
What if that was the opener?
Who's watching that game, by the way? Are Lions fans even going to watch that game? I think that's going to be a red zone game for Lion fans.
They're like, Buffalo, Detroit. Here we go, NFL's back.
This is what Lion fans going to do Sunday. They're going to wake up. They're going to be super excited the NFL's back.
Let's
7 hours.
Lions, baby!
They're going to put the uniform on, and they're going to sit down, and they're going to watch the red zone. And they're not going to get many updates out of their game, but they're going to come into work Monday, and they're going to go, oh, yeah. My Lions look good. Nobody's going to press them on it, but really they watched about 7 minutes of the game.
Nobody wants to watch the Lions. What would your dream matchup have been? 55305. Also, what would be the matchup that's the worst? 55305.
I think I just named it.
I'm going to read some of those. We'll ponder that,
Miami,
too.
Miami, Arizona.
That's a pretty bad
game.
That's
the worst.
That's pretty. I might go Miami, Buffalo, though. At least you got Kyler Murray to watch.
Wow.
I might.
Well, you're diving into the Bills Mafia territory.
I could. I'm sorry, Bills Mafia. The NFL starts tomorrow. We'll have more on that. We got to make our picks. I can't wait. We'll get back into some college football notes coming up bottom of the hour. But now it is time for your favorite segments, Stat or Story, next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't mess.
The Fan.
That's right, folks. Stat or story time. We'll get back into some college football stuff coming up bottom of the hour. One player makes a bold claim. How do we feel about it? Also, Mario Cristobal was on the show earlier today, so we'll bring some of that back. I thought he had some interesting things to say about that Auburn loss and where they go moving forward. But let's get to it.
All right, your first number is six.
Six.
Is it the consecutive number of years the Oregon Ducks football team has racked up over 500 yards of total offense in their home openers? Or is it the number of cows a resident in a ritzy San Jose, California neighborhood recently called the police and said were brazenly wandering through his backyard and not backing off?
I'm going to go with a story here, Bob. I don't know why, but I feel like there might be a year in there where maybe
six
they didn't get to that number.
Years of 500 total yards of offense.
In their home openers.
Now, I feel like every home opener has been a dud now for a long time. Like even the Nebraska, Michigan State games, I don't believe those were home openers. Those were, I think, second or third week non-conference
it's
games.
It's been like Nevada, Wyoming type teams.
Now, I do know last year that they got booed in their home opener. Remember, they were down 10-0 in the first quarter to Bowling Green.
That's correct.
They couldn't get a first
down. Didn't they end up destroying them?
They ended up rattling like 40 unanswered. They did end up winning, but
I feel like this is going to end up being a stat, so
you should go stat. Do you call the cops over six cows, or does it take more cows than that? I'm going to go stat. Damn it.
Story.
How many years?
Nine in a row for the Ducks home opener. 500 or more yards of total offense. This comes to us from our friends at the...
I dirted that one.
You did, totally.
Couldn't have been six. It's probably four or five.
The Huffington Post. So a pricey area in San Jose, California has been dealing with nightly onslaughts of cows and bulls tearing up lawns, pooping everywhere, refusing to be shooed off. Turning on the sprinklers doesn't seem to do it. And so, yes, residents of in the Evergreen neighborhood say, yeah, the bovine started showing up a couple months ago. They tried to turn their sprinklers on and stuff, and the cows and bulls just stood there staring at them, saying, bring it on. But they've been, tearing up yards. Not real sure where these guys are coming from. Because it's a residential.
Just wild cows out
there?
So
they said, there are some grazing cows not too far from the neighborhood, but it's a bit of a mystery as to where they're actually coming from and how they're getting into the neighborhood. So.
That would be frustrating. I get it. If they're tearing up your lawn and stuff. I know a lot of people that have to deal with, like, deers and stuff roaming their backyard.
Is there a more boring animal in the world than the cow? Do you even look at cows when you drive past them anymore? I Random, I know, but I think they're boring. I'm not even interested in looking at them.
Look at the cows.
More than possums?
Possums are kind of like, are you a friendly possum, a mean possum? Are you a combo?
Yeah, what kind of possum are you?
And usually when I'm looking at them, it's, well, how did you die? Did the car go over your head? Are you sitting there with your stomach open? And then I'm always like, hey, did they pick that possum up yet?
You know, I'd say that. The cows are pretty boring, but they are delicious. And also, did you see the video recently of them walking towards the guy playing music? And I think that was in Oregon.
Didn't see that.
So there's a dude who gets out, and somebody, I can't remember what, it was a guitar or something, or maybe it was a saxophone, and he gets out of his car and he walks up to like this giant field with a bunch of cows.
It's like the Pied Piper.
And he
for
just
cows.
Starts playing like music, like this older dude. I'm pretty sure it was in Oregon, and he like thought it was the funniest thing ever. And unbeknownst to him, all the cows in the field slowly started walking towards him. And they just stood there and, like, enjoyed the show, and he put on a concert for some cows. go watch the video. It's hilarious.
To give you a good understanding of just how stupid they are, I was at a farm years and years ago in the Salem area. And the guy that owned the farm, he was talking about cows and intelligence, and I was like, oh, but they have big brains. Like, they can't be that dumb, right? And he goes, follow me. He goes in a tool shed, pulls out a shotgun, walks to the field where the cows are. He goes, and one cow walks over. He points the gun at the cow. The cow licked the barrel of the gun. He ended up butchering that cow. But his point was to show me, because he was going to butcher it anyway, just how dumb they are. And I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody said it was a saxophone. It was an organ. Go watch the video. It's funny. Just old white guy playing a saxophone, and the cows enjoyed the show.
There you go. All right, your next number is 16. 16. Is it the current number of active NFL players playing on a contract with a total value of $100 million or more? Or is it the record toll rate in dollars for a single commute on a stretch of the I-85 express lanes in Atlanta?
What?
Did you know that there's you go that way?
There's a toll to get in and out of the Dallas airport?
Oh, I don't remember that when I went there.
There's a toll. You have to pay the toll to go in.
Sheesh.
16.
I gotta
now,
be honest, the way you worded that stat, I'm very confused by it. So I'm just gonna go, this is a story, and I'm gonna be really upset.
I'm trying to think, like, I don't think a receiver has topped $100 million yet, right?
Not guaranteed money, total value of the contract.
Okay.
Oh, so just 16 players with $100 million?
Yeah, like if you added up the whole damn thing, it was $100 million or over.
I'm gonna go story, but I'm not gonna give my thought on the stat.
It's a stat.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. Stat.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. 16 players. We took Andrew Luck out, and then Jared Goff's was added in today.
Well, Zeke's in there, too. Did you count Zeke?
Zeke's is only $90 million.
I thought with including his next 2 years, he's over $100
million. If you count the next
Yeah, because he's got two. $5 million
well,
each of the next 2 years.
I was looking on SportTrack, and they counted it up earlier today. It was only 16. So.
Is it SportTrack or SpotTrack?
I thought it was SportTrack.
SportTrack.
I always get confused.
Controversy.
I'm also a moron, so.
This comes to us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. A new record toll rate on the I-85 express lanes in Gwinnett County. For $17.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, the cost to use the lanes between Old Peachtree Road and Shallowford Road hit a record.
Old Peachtree Road.
So the previous record was $15.50, set in August of 2018. So yeah, they I guess they can adjust the rates, and they're flexible based on what's going on. So the latest change, August 2018, the board set a uniform toll rate across the entire express lane system, which included I-75 as well. But the change was aimed at reducing congestion, providing a more reliable and predictable commute for Peach Pass customers. Not sure that is working.
That is so much money.
Would tolls work here?
I think they work everywhere. It's just...
I don't know, man. Sometimes there's traffic in that Bay Area when you do those bridges, the Bay Bridge and the You get to that toll, it kind of gets real backed
up. Some of those, too, it's a lot of touristy stuff. Like, I feel like in most places, you can buy those easy pass things.
So
you
go right through.
You fly through the express lanes, and you're just the tourists or the people who don't often travel on those roads are the ones that are getting caught. So if it's your normal commute, you buy the easy pass, and you're ultimately going to be okay. That's the thing that always, like, whenever you go to the East Coast, it blows me away. Like, when I was out there in June, whatever it was, and we drove from New York all the way down to D.C., and you don't realize how many different, like, every time you come in and out of a state, you have to pay a toll.
Right.
It's like, it's unbelievable. Every time, like, you just imagine everybody going from Oregon and Vancouver or Oregon and Washington.
Well, yeah, I think like, that's the only way they build a new I-5 bridge.
Yeah,
I
mean, as long as you can use the money wisely, I'm not opposed to it, but...
Your final number is 34. Now, you guys are going to get this because you went over this earlier in the show. Is it the highest number of touchdown passes thrown by Jared Goff in the 2018 regular season, his highest total?
Story.
Or is it the record number of eruptions this year for the Steamboat Geyser at Yellowstone National Park said earlier this week?
Yeah, we're screwed. Are you sure this is a story? You read it earlier, but I don't remember.
He had 32 touchdowns last year, 28 the year prior, and then 5 the year prior to that.
Okay, story.
Yes, 32 touchdowns.
Okay, give us the doom and gloom.
All right, so the Steamboat Geyser there at Yellowstone National Park is the world's tallest active geyser. Its major eruptions shoot water up more than 300 feet into the air. And this last week, it erupted for the 34th time, which set a record, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Last year's record was 32. Before that, the record was 29 back in 1964. And so they're very curious as to why all of a sudden the geyser is erupting more than normal.
Well, I mean, that thing goes off. That's it. That's all she wrote. It's over. Cancel football season, basketball season. It's not going to matter because a lot of us are not going to be alive for it. I always wonder with something like Yellowstone. You know, scientists are working so hard to figure out if they can predict things like when is it going to explode, etc. Let's just follow the animals. Somehow, animals have this intuition with things where, you know, when something happens, birds, a huge flock of birds just goes away, or you see a deer running down the road. That's going to be the sign. That's going to be the first sign of
something's happening here.
Bears are migrating out east. We'll wonder why that is.
The representative of the U.S. Geological System said one reason is that there have been several heavy snow years that's created more groundwater to feed the geysers and hot springs. But they say it's a popular misconception that geyser eruptions are related to earthquake activities. Visitors to the national park have nothing to worry about. Steamboat's frequent surges do not reflect any deeper changes in Yellowstone's volcanic system.
Okay.
Geyser plumbing systems are within a couple hundred meters of the surface. The magma system starts several thousand meters below.
Wow.
Yeah, when it all goes down, that's a pretty good culprit, though, for it all going down. Right? Like, we bring up the earthquake out here on the West Coast, which would do a lot of damage. That old geyser there is going to blow us all up.
Well, and then they think the after effect, if that goes off, how many other volcanoes erupt?
Yeah, it's not good. Not good. Smoke them while you got them, my man. There you go. Statter story every Wednesday at 2:15.
What?
You never heard that saying? No?
I mean, not in the sense of a volcano erupting.
You gotta enjoy life. You never know when it's gonna be over, all right?
Smoke them while you got them. That's like something my brother would say with his Marlboros. Yeah. Why are you still smoking cigarettes? Well, you gotta smoke them if you got them.
Let's get back into some college football, shall we? One player makes the prediction. How do we feel about it? Also, Mario Cristobal joined the show earlier and shared his thoughts on the Auburn loss and where they go moving forward. We'll get to some of that coming up next. But first, hey, new documentary coming to HBO. We'll get to that coming up, close out the show, answer the poll questions as well. How would you feel if an Oregon State Beaver guaranteed a win over Hawaii?
It really wouldn't bother me at all. In fact, I'd say, hey, maybe this is encouraging and they will win this game, but
you're okay with guarantees from your team?
I don't know what the next story you're going to share, if you should compare it to that.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
How would you have felt if Oregon went in and Micah Pittman guaranteed Oregon would beat the Ducks?
You know, you love the confidence. And for the most part, I feel like with guarantees, people don't remember them. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a thing in the coming weeks. Like, everybody would point back to so-and-so guaranteeing a win.
Well, the other team does.
The other team will, and they'll use it as their bulletin board material, but I feel like everybody ultimately moves on, so I don't have a huge issue with the confidence. It just looks bad if you don't pull it off, at least in the short term. And this is going on right now. So one of the big games in the country this weekend is Texas A&M and Clemson. Now, Texas A&M almost beat them last year, but that was at Texas A&M. Now they're at Clemson. And Jared Hocker, he is an offensive lineman for Texas A&M. He had this to say.
I like being the underdog, you know. You always have something to prove, so I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
Does that make them ripe for an upset?
Oh, yes, it does. There will be an upset.
Just like the confidence?
Yeah, he's not like he's – that's his mentality. That's all of their mentality. The prediction stuff. Remember, I said this about the remember it was the Steelers, I want to say it was. A couple of years ago, they faced the Jags. And they went into that game, and they were dismissive. They were almost like moving on from the Jag game to something else. I hated that. You know, you have to respect your opponent. That kid, I don't know anything about him. I don't know if he's a first-year kid or a senior, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That kid respects his opponent. And even if you think he's going too far with the there will be an upset, dude, everybody coming into that locker room on Saturday is thinking the same thing. This is our time. Clemson's reign's over. Texas A&M is coming for you. Here we go. Will it work? I mean, probably not. Clemson's probably going to win that game. But at least you know that that team is confident going into it versus dismissing their opponent and looking past them or being unsure of it.
Sure.
Well, you know, we'll just see how it goes.
It'd be funny to get a guy one time who was just completely honest. No, we're not going to win. What are you, crazy?
Have you spam his ass.
Have you seen Clemson? No, we don't stand a chance against them.
Well, they're 17.5 point dogs right now on the consensus. That's Dog Johnson barking.
I'm
barking loud.
All over that game, baby.
Well, they had a little bit of a slow start versus Tech before they just mopped the floor with them.
Yeah, I'm off to a 3-for-3 start, and Sprague in the line might have to bark a little bit this weekend. We'll see if we can keep the mojo going. So
we
that
need
one's,
more dogs.
We need more dogs. I'm all over the dogs this weekend. Let's get to Mario Cristobal. If you missed the interview, we had him on earlier this show at 12:15 today. We'll podcast it as soon as we're done here today. You can go find it at 1080thefan.com. You know, a couple of interesting things I thought stood out, and we'll get to these, just kind of rattle through a couple of them, but he's trying to build this program. He's got an identity that he wants to establish, wants to play a certain brand of football. Here he is just on the loss and what that means for building his program.
When you rebuild a program, you can't skip certain steps, and that's part of it. But to me, the whole thing is, look, you got to build it from the inside out. And you got to be impervious to any noise, to anything, because what you have to do to get a program on track to perform consistently at a high level requires every ounce of everything you have. And we're understanding that our players, our organization is understanding that you only get 60 minutes. That's all you get. You know, you're not promised anything else on a weekly basis. So I love the approach. I love the fact that there's an understanding, like, you know what, we can get better. And that's been the focus, so it's been good.
Everybody can get better, players and coaches.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was a pretty good answer, actually, because that was coming off of the they lost, you don't want to lose. And I do feel like there is validity to you do have to take your lumps.
Yeah, that's what right? You'd ask. Like, do you have to take your lumps in this build? Like, learn how to win games like this ultimately to get over the hump.
I think they're very valuable tools, to be honest with you. It doesn't always guarantee that you're going to come out the other end what you want. I mean, he may end up walking away, and we look back and we go, remember the Cristobal era, and we thought it was going to be this, and it wasn't. But
sure,
he also may end up winning at a high level. And I know that could be funny to a lot of people because of what they think of him. But if I read you these records, can you identify who it is?
Okay.
4-3, 9-5, 6-7.
No.
That's Dabo Sweeney's first 3 years as Clemson's coach. 6-7. What do you think the Clemson chatter was about?
Oh, they hated him. Right? He got an extension and everybody was pissed.
You mentioned Saban all the time in a reference. Guys, this isn't to compare Cristobal and say that he's on that level. He's not. He hasn't earned that yet. But what they are doing is recruiting that type of talent. They're doing things you haven't seen in Eugene in that regard. They've got a senior quarterback. The conference is somewhat down right now. They may not win the North. They could win the North. They have the talent to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always a, well, this guy is doing X, so that means he should do X on the field, right? You recruit a top 10 recruiting class, that doesn't guarantee you as a top 10 program. And sometimes when you try to build to that level, when you try to build to get back into that college football playoff conversation, when you build to get back to what you were when people said Chip Kelly and Oregon, it doesn't happen overnight. So again, he may not ever get over the hump. He may not win every big game. He may be a consistent 9-win type coach. And if Oregon Duck fans cool with that, okay. But for the ones that are upset, I just think we need to take a step back. He does deserve criticism. We questioned him on a couple things that happened in that game. There's no doubt about that he's pissed. He has 11 more games. Let's let some things play out while also admitting that was not ideal to start of your season.
Sure.
What are things that the team needs to go through and learn from as you continue to try to build this thing up into an SEC West school?
On the recruiting note, too, of the influx of new talent, I thought he had an actually funny line where I asked him how he thought the freshmen played, because a handful of them made their debuts from that big touted recruiting class. And he essentially said, you know, you'd love to fast forward 3 years. So these guys are all, I mean, you have that top 10 recruiting class, everybody's veterans and they're ready to go. That's not the reality. No. Some key positions they're playing young guys. Doesn't mean they can't win with the young guys, but it does, you go through lumps occasionally. One more, you mentioned on the difficult part of decisions and the criticism. I think a lot of the criticism for him came to game management. We've talked a lot about that the last 2 days. You asked him about calling two timeouts late in the game before that fourth and short. Here's what he said.
Well, the first time I had to use it, because from a personnel standpoint, with some of the injuries that we had, we required different personnel groupings. The Herbert thing, it really has nothing to do with a timeout. Even though we were fuzzy on the rule, we were set to go with Tyler. Mm-hmm. When those guys were in there, did not feel comfortable with the way the guys were settling into their alignments and to run the play. So no hesitation there. Use the timeout, regroup. It's a 4th-and-1 play. Let's get it right.
And I think that's the unfortunate part that I took away is I just don't think anybody on that staff knew the rule. And then you threw the Herbert jumping out there because he obviously wants to go back in. I think that was an added element of everything that went down. The staff probably was like watching him run out and assuming, oh yeah, we took a timeout. We're good, right?
Right, right.
And everybody around him probably was like, yeah. Nobody knew the rule.
Yeah.
That is a concerning thing.
Without a doubt.
That's a concerning thing. But those are also, do you think he's ever going to be in a moment where a player comes out and he forgets that? This is what I'm talking about. Those are moments he can learn from. Some of the stuff you can't. It just has to be, you understand kind of the nuance of certain parts of football games. And we'll wait to see if he knows and if we feel like he's on that level.
Yeah, if you learn from your mistakes. If you missed the whole interview, he gives some coach speak here and there. A lot of coaches do. But he gave some stuff on the injury notes for guys who impressed him the most, what he learned about his team, summarized the game a little bit, a breakdown of Nevada. You can go check it. We'll tweet it out at 1080 The Fan. It'll be 1080TheFan.com. Mario Cristobal joined the show earlier today. There's a new documentary coming to HBO. Does it entice you? Also, the poll questions. That's what we'll wrap up the show. We'll do it next on The Fan. Hey, Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour. Tomorrow, the National Football League is back, and I cannot wait. That deserves a woo. That deserves a woo. By the way, I asked earlier in the hour the dream matchup and the dreaded matchup to open with. We got Bengals-Jags on a wet, muddy Mexican field as the disaster matchup. Another one,
yeah,
Miami.
The Jags would kill them on that.
Yeah, somebody said Miami-Washington, Dolphins-Bucks.
Yeah,
Miami's a common threat here.
Dude, the Bucs can be entertaining for good and bad reasons. James could throw 5 picks or he could throw 5 touchdowns. I wouldn't put the Bucs in that category. They are a team. I'm not searching for them, but if they're on, I'm not going, oh God. If the Cardinals and Dolphins came on my TV screen, I'd drop a, oh God, I'd change the channel right away.
Some of the dream matchups we got, Raiders-Steelers. I mean, Antonio Brown's an interesting storyline, but
if it's
no
in Pittsburgh,
thanks.
I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, there's many games that I would choose before that. Chiefs-Browns, that was yours that you gave out as well. So it's a Pats-Chiefs rematch. Yeah, there would be some good ones. Packers and Bears, though, is solid. It's a good way to start the year. History, Soldier Field, old uniforms, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Bears kicker could miss a kick. You know, you could do worse than that.
Yeah, I mean, like, over the years, they've had a few seasons where that's been a great rivalry, but Packers haven't been in the playoffs a couple years.
Wow, Papuna, Packers-Bears rivalry.
The Bears went through a run there where they didn't do squat after the Super Bowl. It's been a great rivalry. It's old. I'll give you that. It's an old rivalry.
It is old. It is the most historic rivalry in football.
I don't even know if it's top 4 for people.
Ooh, in terms of NFL rivalries right now.
What are your favorite NFL rivalries of your life? Does that crack your top four? Doesn't crack mine. I'm going to watch it. I'm jacked for it. But
well, I think we all lean to our fandom rivalries.
Sure. But you also have traditional ones that you love.
I mean, what's the most traditional NFL rivalry that you love?
Well, I'd say like Steelers-Cowboys is always going to be a rivalry that looks great on my television. I'm all in on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, anything including the Cowboys is pretty solid because there's a lot of teams that view themselves as a rival with the Cowboys, right? Like you think of the Niners and the Cowboys in the 90s.
Yeah. That's a great, that's still, right? Yeah, that one's bigger to me.
When was the last time that was a relevant rivalry, though?
Oh, it's been a decade.
It's been since 1998.
But when you say your favorite rivalries, sure. I do assume you're putting your fandom in it mixed with what are the other teams you love to watch.
Okay, that's fair, yeah.
Now, Packer fan could be really mad at that. Bear fan, I'm sure, is mad at that, but.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
I'm jacked for the game. Let me back out of this.
You're just poo-pooing the opening night of the NFL, man. You're not even going to watch, are you?
No, I
guess we're not breaking it down on Friday. Well, Sprague's, we got a softball game tomorrow. Sprague's probably going to hang out, drink White Claws, turn on a soccer game. What the hell happened to you, man?
I don't think you want me breaking down a football game with X's and O's. That's not going to end well.
You see, what had happened was, we all love a good sports documentary.
Yeah,
right?
Dallas Washington's a good one, too. Washington sucks right now.
I feel like every rivalry people are going to include are the Cowboys.
Well, maybe. They're pretty iconic.
Name me a
team.
Good non-Cowboy rivalry that you get jacked for. Because Seattle, San Francisco.
Denver, New England's always
been
good.
Well, Ravens-Steelers really? Over the last years has been.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Knockout. I mean.
Sure. I feel like that's always an ugly game, though.
I feel like you're trying to poo-poo everything we throw at you.
I'm trying to throw poo-poo at the ones because you poo-pooed Packers-Bears.
What about Chiefs-Broncos?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
For whatever reason, I don't know why, I feel like the NFL, rivalries aren't as big of a deal for me in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you in that
right?
sense.
Right? Like if
yeah.
you're going to rank college football, NBA, Major League Baseball, of which sports rivalries you care about the most, I feel like the NFL falls last in that category.
Well, and this person says, it's just cool to see Packers, Bears, uniform stadium. No, I get the nostalgia part of it.
It's
and
aesthetically
I'm,
pleasing.
Yeah. I'm saying it's not in my top four, though. That doesn't mean it's not a good rivalry.
You just hate the Packers and the Bears. It's all right. You can just come out and say it, man.
I've actually always hated the Packers.
I know you have, yeah.
The Bears, I kind of root for the Bears. Like, oh, that's a cute little story.
That's so condescending.
I'm sorry, for the majority of my lifetime, they haven't been that great
aww,
of a franchise. Aw,
cute little team.
Aw, Rex Grossman's aww, gone out there. He thinks he can beat Peyton. And the sad part is, with a better quarterback, I think they would have beaten the Colts in that game.
They might have won that game. Speaking of NFL teams, Bill Belichick is a part of a new HBO documentary involving him and Nick Saban. Here's the trailer.
Then he says, by the way, Dad, how many headsets did you break this year?
We go back a long ways, and we had experiences that we both kind of learned from.
In retrospect, it might have been better for us had we lost one somewhere along the way.
But when you get to the top of the mountain, you become the mountain.
That is the new, the roof is the, what did Jordan say?
The roof
say?
Is the ceiling,
that
yeah.
is now when you get to the top of the mountain, you are the mountain.
Yeah.
Are we excited for this? Belichick and Saban documentary on HBO.
Yeah, look, I've always admitted to you, I love behind-the-scenes storytelling, explanations. Like, that Belichick tease, that actually got me interested because I think he's talking about the undefeated year. And you just don't get that kind of candor very often from these two guys, so.
He was good in the one with Parcells, too. You got a little behind-the-scenes look at
it. Yeah. That's right. Same kind of relationship, too. D coordinator, head coach. I'm all in. I think they're going to share some really personal thoughts.
By the way, he had a great drop today. We forgot to play it. We'll play it tomorrow, but he had a great drop about football season and how much he loves it. Bill Belichick. That needs to be a recurring thing on the show. So we'll get to that coming up tomorrow.
Saints-Falcons is a good game.
Really?
I'm throwing things out and you're poo-pooing all of them.
Which quarterback would you rather build around going forward? Don't explain it. Just give me your answer. Carson Wentz or Jared Goff?
I sadly think I'm going Goff because he's going to stay healthy. I can't trust Wentz.
Goff, health.
Okay.
Health matters, man.
I took Wentz. Wentz won 71-29%, although that's extremely inflated by
Philly
the
got a
Philly
hold
retweet.
Of that poll question.
Philly took it over. How do you feel about Hard Knocks this year? 56% of you said, it was all right. There you go. Good show. If you missed it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com. We have Mario Cristobal on. Go check that interview. We will podcast it. Good stuff from the head coach of the Oregon Ducks. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, the National Football League is back, and I cannot wait. Thank you for being a part of our Wednesday Number Ones Next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.